like to ask you to pray with me, and let's ask the Lord to speak to our hearts tonight. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, and I ask you, Father, that you would use me tonight. I pray, Father, that by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would bless us tonight with what we need. Lord, you know better than we do what we need. And I pray, Father, that you would impart some spiritual truth to each person, Lord, that will strengthen their walk with you, Lord, that will empower them to be a witness of you and to bring glory and honor to you, and that would impact the lives of those around them. Father, that our faith in you is not just something that we talk, but something that we walk, something that we live out each and every day. I pray that you help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight I want to talk to you about how to find joy in your work. Most of us spend 40 or 60 hours a week working. Some more, some less, and it may be at a job, or it may be working at home, or taking care of the kids, doing housework and personal business, or combination of all the above. But we all work in some way. And, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and get this out here, that even if you are retired, even if you are maybe without a job right now and you're looking, all of us need to be working in some way. You know, one of the fastest ways to go home and be with the Lord is when you retire to do nothing. You need to stay busy working always. And, you know, if you're retired, I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying, wow, you got lots of time to work for the Lord, right? Amen. There's a couple of you with me. But I'm just saying, you got lots of time to work for the Lord. But all of us have that opportunity to work. And yet, listen, most people consider work to be a four-letter word. I know, you're thinking, well, it is. You know what I'm talking about. In our culture today, work is a dirty word. And most people are just looking for a way to get out of work. They want less of it, and they want to be done with it as quick as they can so they can get on about enjoying life. How miserable it is to spend that much of your life being miserable. So we need to know how we can find joy in our work. About a third of workers say they hate their jobs. Wow. That may be that for some of those people, their job is just a temporary thing. Maybe it's a stepping stone to something better. But whether or not you do something for only a year, or you're going to do it for 40 or 50 years, how terrible to hate your job. Now, the most common way that people try to find joy in their work is look for a new job. You know, they don't like this one, they're not enjoying this one, so they just look for another one. And you know what? A lot of the time, they just go from the frying pan into the fire. You know, they think, well, I'm going to leave this job, going to go to this job. I'm just telling you that it doesn't usually work out the way that they think it's going to. But the key to finding joy in your work, is, I believe, is found in the Scripture, not found doing it the world's way. And, you know, a lot of the things I'm going to talk to you about tonight are not something new. But, you know, there's things that we know in our head, and yet we hadn't really gotten a hold of in our heart. So I'm asking the Holy Spirit to help us tonight to really apply these things in our heart, live them out, change our attitudes. Amen. When we know the truth sets free. Amen. But listen, Jesus wasn't talking about the things of this world when he said, you shall know the truth. He says, if you continue in my word, Then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So I'm telling you, the truth we need is found in the Word, and it'll make you free. So that's where we're going to look tonight. I think if you're a sincere Christian and you're really serving God, you may not like for me to say this, but listen, unless you are just really in rebellion and out disobeying God, let me just say this. Where you are, where you're working right now, is probably the will of God for you right now. You see, I think some people are unhappy with their job because they think, oh, well, this isn't what God has for me. Well, let me tell you, unless you've just been out in rebellion and disobeying God and you're just like running from God, well, probably it is where He wants you right now, today. I can. So you need to get that out of your mind and decide that, you know what? I can be happy in this job. I can enjoy my work. You got to start knowing that, hey, maybe this is where I'm supposed to be, at least for just right now. But regardless of how you got to that job, I believe God wants you to enjoy your work. Work shouldn't be something we just endure hoping for Friday. Now, for ministers, well, we're just enduring hoping for Monday. See, now how would you like that if preachers talked like that? We're just enduring a Sunday so that we can get to Monday. No, but I'm telling you, the Lord doesn't want any of us to feel that way about our work. He wants us, I really believe, the Lord wants you to enjoy life. I think He wants you to be blessed. And if you feel like that 40, 50, 60 hours a week of your time is not a good time, I'm telling you, the Lord wants to change that. So we're going to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. And I'm going to read from Ecclesiastes in the NIV. It's just a little simpler and clearer. So just in Ecclesiastes, we're going to use the NIV tonight. But he says, Ecclesiastes 2, 10 and 11, Solomon says, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. And listen to this, he says, now this sounds pretty good. My heart took delight in all my work. Wow, that's a good thing. And this was the reward for all my labor. That's a good thing. Here's the but. Verse 11. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained, was all under the sun. He said, I took delight in my work, and yet when it was all said and done, it was all meaningless. It was just chasing after the wind, just running after something. You ever felt like that hamster on a wheel? I mean, you're just running and running and running, and maybe, listen, maybe you're even successful at it. Maybe you're good at it. Solomon talked about all he achieved, and yet he said it was just meaningless. And you know what? If we could learn anything from the rich and famous, it ought to be this, that you can accomplish and you can have it all and still be miserable. No, Solomon makes it real clear that you can still be dissatisfied, even though you make money, even though you achieve a level of success, you can still be unhappy at the end of the day. We got to find a higher purpose in our work. In the same chapter, verse 17 and 18, now listen, if we don't find a higher purpose in our work, here's the end result. Verse 17, he said, so I hated life. Wow. This guy had everything going for him, and he says, so I hated life. How sad. He says, because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me, all of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. See, he says, even though he gathered great wealth, he said, when it was all said and done, it didn't really mean anything. It didn't satisfy. Wealth and achievement is not enough. Some of you are thinking, well, I'd like to find out for myself. They will not bring you true joy. So we keep going here in Ecclesiastes. You need to find purpose. If you want to find joy in your work, you got to find purpose in your work. Ecclesiastes 2, 24 through 26, he says, a man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. Find satisfaction, find that fulfillment, that purpose in his work. He says, this too, I see, is from the hand of God. I want you to understand that purpose in your work is from the hand of God. He says, for without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness, but to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. Now I want you to notice some key words in this passage. Satisfaction. Enjoyment. Who doesn't want those things? But I want you to understand something, that those things were all a blessing from God. He says it's all from the hand of God. I want you to know that our Father wants to bless us. But we need to see our work as a blessing from God. Not as a curse, not as something that we just have to endure. No, we got to change our mindset about it and see it as something from the hand of God. See it as a blessing from God. He said, there's nothing better than to find satisfaction in our work. It's an old story. A man named Christopher Wren designed St. Paul's Cathedral in London, and he wrote about the reactions of the construction workers who were asked what they were doing. Those workers that were bored and tired, they said things like, I'm laying bricks, I'm carrying stones. But one worker who was mixing cement seemed to be really cheerful and enthusiastic. And when he asked him what he was doing, he said, I'm building a magnificent cathedral. See, here's a man that had the bigger picture. He found purpose in his work. He wasn't just mixing cement. No, he was building a magnificent cathedral. And I want you to understand that in our lives, God always has some higher purpose. There's always something bigger that God is doing in our lives. Even in the daily and the mundane of life, God is at work. And we need to understand that there's a higher purpose in our life. Whatever we do, whatever our task may be, Carmen and I, over the years, have made friends with a number of people that work at 24-hour fitness, one of them or the other. And I see on Facebook, they're always posting about how that they are changing lives. That's kind of, you know, their one of their phrases they use in their company. Changing lives. You know, because they really believe it, that because they're helping people get in shape and take care of their bodies and help their health that way, that they're changing lives. But you see, they have that sense of purpose, and it helps them love what they do. They're all excited. They love their job because they feel like they're making a difference. Now, you, some of you right now, you're thinking, well, my job, there's no way I can. I'm just telling you, there is. You need to ask God help you see how that you have a higher purpose, that you can make a difference in some people's lives. You know, most people in today's culture, it's just kind of the cool thing to hate lawyers. And by the way, we have a couple I know of for sure of godly Christian men in our church who are attorneys, and I have great respect for. But my dad told me many times that the reason that he left being a college professor and became an attorney was because he saw it as a way that he could help people. And as a Christian man, that's what he tried to do as an attorney. I know he made money along the way too, but I'm just telling you, he had a sense of purpose in his life that wasn't just about the achievement or the wealth, but it was about a purpose. And you know what? We need that in our life. It doesn't matter if you're working at a fast food restaurant or you're sacking groceries at a grocery store. You can have a sense of purpose that I'm not just throwing bags in a bag, but find some kind of purpose of how you're helping people, how you're serving people, how you're making a difference. Y'all quiet right now. Some of you are thinking real hard, I hope, but I'm telling you that God can help you to find purpose in what you're doing. I know many people have found purpose in their work because they really believe that God was helping them and blessing them in their work so that they could help fund the spread of the gospel. And I'm telling you, that's very valid, because the Bible says very clearly, how will they believe unless they hear? And how are they going to hear unless a preacher is sent? So somebody's got to help fund the gospel. And a lot of people have found real purpose in being successful, not just in acquiring wealth, but so that they could help spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So ask the Lord to help you find purpose and meaning in your work that's beyond simply bringing home a paycheck. As long as that's all it is to you, you'll never really find joy in your work. Second, our attitude should be that we are working for the Lord. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. He says, do it heartily. Another translation says, with all your heart. And I just want to, I want to just make this point real quick here, that whatever your job is, you do it the very best you can. With all your heart. All your heart. Never half-hearted. No, with all your heart. Right there is a big part of the reason that so many people are miserable at their job. But we do it with all our heart because we're doing it for the Lord. Now, this is what the Scripture says. Remember, this is what sets free, is the truth of His Word. He says, you're doing it for the Lord. As noble as it sounds, you're not even doing it for your family. You're doing it first and foremost for the Lord. Whatever, he said, whatever you do. And here's the interesting thing about that. If you read Colossians chapter 3, you'll see that he's talking to slaves. He's talking to people who were ordered around, people who did the most menial task, people who were slaves. And yet he says, whatever you do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. So whoever you work for, whatever company it might be, however low you might think your job is, you're doing that job for the Lord. And when you start getting that mindset, I'm doing this for the Lord, it changes how you work. And it changes your attitude about your job. Because I want to tell you something. If you really believe that whatever it is you do, I'm doing this for the Lord, You can't help but do it different. It will radically change you if you believe you're actually doing this for the Lord, as to the Lord and not to men. See, if you believe that, it's not hard to do it with all your heart, because you wouldn't want to work half-heartedly for the Lord. But if you're going to find joy in your work every day, everything you do is for Him. And if you're doing it for Him, you do your very best. Most people in our world today do as little as they can get away with. If they can get away with doing less, that's what they're going to do. And they're miserable. I remember years ago, we had a young man back, you know, in the dark ages when I was the youth pastor. We had a young man who needed some help in raising money so he could go to camp. And so we sent him outside the church property there to the flower bed with a hoe. And we said, now, we want you to just hoe out these weeds and clear this, you know, a little bit of grass gotten in here, just hoe that out. And so I went back to check on him in a little while. I never saw anything like it. He was standing there with that hoe with one hand. He'd raise it, he'd drop it, and he'd drag it. He'd raise it, he'd drop it, and he'd drag it. He wasn't doing nothing. And did he look miserable? He looked like he was about to die any second. I'm just telling you, if you work, whatever you do, like you're doing this for Jesus, Lord, I know you're watching me and I'm working for you right now, it'll put a little something extra in your step. You won't work that way for Jesus. The truth is that when we work half-heartedly, it always seems slow and difficult. But when you do your best, I tell you, time goes faster. And it just puts a lightness in your step. My first real job, you know, where you had a place of employment. I did other mowed yards and hauled hay and stuff like that. But my first real job was at Piggly Wiggly. And I was a sacker. Started off as a sacker. And it was a different time than now. It seems kind of weird, but nobody pushed a basket out of that store except an employee. I mean, I had to tell people sometimes, especially men, you know, sir, I can't allow you to push this basket out. I'll get in trouble. That was the kind of service that we had at that store that we carry, if unless it was one bag and they're carrying it, we pushed their basket out and we brought the baskets back. But you know, when I started working there, it was just too boring to me to walk back. And so I jogged or ran back with every basket. They didn't ask me to. They didn't suggest that. Other people weren't doing that. But I just found it boring to be walking back. And besides that, I wanted to get back so I could help the next person. Now, I'm not trying to brag on myself. I'm just telling you that I enjoyed being a sacker. I didn't hate it. I enjoyed it. I had fun doing it. But a lot of the time, if we work slow, we just kind of half-heartedly do something, we don't ever enjoy anything. I see these guys now at the grocery stores and Walmart places. And they're out there gathering up the baskets. And man, they look miserable. Now, if you do that and you're here tonight, well, I'm sure you're different. But I'm just saying the most of them that I've seen. Henry Giles, a 19th century preacher, said, "Men and women must work. That is as certain as the sun. But we may work grudgingly or we may work gratefully." So rude. we may work as people or machines. There's no work so rude that we may not exalt it, or no work so impassive that we may not breathe a soul into it, no work so dull that we may not enliven it, if we understand that what we are doing is service for our Lord Jesus Christ. So you find purpose in your work, and you work for the Lord. Third, remember that He is the one who rewards. Whatever you do, Colossians 3, 23, and we'll go on into 24. Whatever you do heartily to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. I'm going to get a paycheck at the end of 2 weeks, and that's my reward. No, it's not. Thank God for the paycheck. But know this, that God is the one who will reward your work that you did heartily unto Him. Don't just look to men as your reward. They'll fail you. There'll be times that they'll let you down. But God will not. Always realize that God is the one who ultimately rewards. And if you believe that, I'm telling you, it will affect your attitude. You know, so many people who have a negative attitude about their job, a big part of it is they feel like they're underappreciated and maybe not compensated enough either. I got to tell you, I've been there. It's been years ago. The church is really good to me, and I thank God for my job here as a pastor and the salary that I make. I thank God. But I want to tell you, there's been a few times over the years ago, when I didn't feel like I made enough. Didn't feel like I was being treated right. I worked for a couple of pastors who had attitude that, you know, we're going to pay you as little as we can get by with. Worked for a church board or two that had that same mentality. Less is best, you know. Y'all heard that story about the preacher that prayed, Lord, keep me poor and humble, and the deacon said, Lord, you keep him humble, we'll keep him poor. But I'm just telling you, I know how that is when you feel like, you know what, I'm not being paid what I should be. I should be making more than I am. Well, let me tell you something. God is the one who rewards. Don't let that sour your attitude about your job and about your work. Instead, entrust that to God, that He is able to make it up. You say, well, this is an injustice. There is a judge who makes things right. And this scripture says very plainly that He is the one who rewards us. He takes care of us. He promotes. He blesses. We're going faster now. Fourth, to find joy in our work, we have to be grateful and not complain. I've been to ministers' conferences where ministers get together and complain. Some years ago, I substituted at a junior high school for a few days. And having been a youth pastor for many years, I kind of enjoyed it. And I would go into the teacher's lounge. Well, once I did. They didn't want me back, I don't think. But anyway, I went in the teacher's lounge one day. And as the teachers would come in, they would all start complaining. Now, I know we have good Christian teachers in our church that don't do that, but I'm just telling you what they did there. They would all start complaining about the kids and about this and that and everything else. They all complain. And I know it's that way in a lot of workplaces. People go in the break room and they just start talking about all the things they don't like and complaining. They get together and it's, you know, misery loves company. But I'm telling you that if you're going to really have joy in your work, you're going to have to put that aside and be grateful. Don't be a participant in that. Don't be a complainer. You'll never find complainers who are truly happy. But if somebody is grateful, oh, they're on the road to joy. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And I'm telling you that this certainly is God's will for us in every avenue of our life, that in everything we give thanks, then it certainly applies in the workplace. I think that goes a long ways towards enjoying your work, to be thankful for the opportunities that you have. Remember the ungrateful, wicked servant in the parable of the talents. His Lord gives him a talent to work with, and then the guy says, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you had not sowed. How ungrateful, when his Lord had entrusted to him a great sum of money. But most of the time, we tend to not appreciate what we have until it's gone. And I think that's very true a lot of times with people's work. They don't really appreciate what they have. And yet if it was gone, they would sorely miss it. And I'm just telling you that we need to be careful to always be thankful to God, always appreciate the opportunity, always appreciate the job that we have today. There's nothing wrong with praying and asking the Lord for a better job, or, you know, to move you into an area that maybe would have work that you enjoy more. But at the same time, be thankful for today, for what you have today. And don't let go of that. I've seen it happen even a lot of times in ministry where someone gets disgruntled and they don't like the way things are going. Maybe they don't like the way they've been treated. And because they're ungrateful, they end up not even in ministry at all. And I'm just telling you that whatever your work might be, you need to keep a grateful heart. It is a witness and brings glory to God when you do that. We need to be grateful and not allow the attitude of the generation that we live in to get on us. See, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, in the last days it'll be terrible times. And one of the things it uses to describe that terrible times, it says that people will be ungrateful. And here we are in the most affluent nation that's ever been and the most ungrateful people. And I'm just telling you that you can always find somebody that has more, somebody that's making more than you. I figured out in ministry long, long time ago, pretty much anybody who I make more than thinks I make too much. I remember the very first church I worked at, I worked for free, and then they decided that they would pay me $100 a week as the youth pastor if I'd clean the church. And there was a young lady there who helped me with the youth some, and she was a good friend to me. She found out one of my friends. She worked at Walmart, and when she found out the church was paying me $100 a week, she was shocked that they were paying me that much money. But I'm just telling you, however much you're making, whatever the situation, you might be thinking, oh, I should be doing better. Be thankful for what you have. Listen, when you're thankful, it attracts more. See, when you're appreciating and thanking God for what you have, I'm telling you, that's how you get more. Not by complaining. You know what complaining really is? It's telling God he's not doing a good job. Philippians 2, 14 and 15, it says, do all things, that means work too, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. I'm telling you, you really shine for the Lord when you don't complain and you don't get involved in arguments and strife in the workplace. Shine for the Lord. Would you just be grateful and do a good job and don't get involved in strife? You can shine for Jesus. But be thankful. If you're going to ever have joy in your work, you're going to have to be thankful. And I want to tell you something. I'm going to move on after this. I'm just going to say it one more time. There's people that are looking for a job right now that would be thankful to have yours. So you ought to be thankful. Amen. Fifth, let Jesus be a part of your work. You want to have joy in your work? Well, make room for the Lord in your workplace. I'm not talking about you being obnoxious or, you know, I'm just talking about you giving the Lord opportunity to use you in the workplace. I took my Bible with me when I worked at a bank as a teller. During the slow times, the other people would get their Harlequins and their People magazines out, and I would get my Bible out. And you know what? I didn't have to preach to anybody. I didn't have to approach anybody. They came to me and asked me questions about my faith. My wife and my son Jonathan, our youth pastor, both worked in public schools, and they both kept their Bible laid out on their desk. I'm just telling you, you can make room for the Lord in your workplace. And you know, some people get this attitude. They say, oh, now, wait a minute. That religion would keep that church. Business is business. This is where I make money. I can't have, you know, something messing up my business. Listen, if Jesus messes up your business, it needed to be messed up. I'm just saying, Jesus, maybe your business is something you don't need to be involved in if there's not room for Jesus in it. I'm just saying. Because Jesus is not a Sunday religion. It's for all of our life. And you're working 40, 50 hours a week and Jesus has to stay out of that part. Something's wrong. So you need to make room for Jesus in your workplace. Now, there's a great example of this found in Luke chapter 5 of Peter and his company have fished all night and caught nothing. And now they're cleaning their nets, working the third shift out fishing. They're probably worn out and tired, ready to go home. You know, fishing is one of those jobs you kind of got to love because it ain't all roses. It sure don't smell like roses. But if you've been around dead fish much, you know what I'm talking about, right? Like all jobs, you see, some of us guys, we like to go fishing, but if you do it for a living, it's a different thing. Like all jobs, it has its good points, but it's got its bad ones too. I used to, when I pastored in Oklahoma, I knew some guys who were fishing guides, and they get up at 4 in the morning. I don't like that part. They get up at 4 in the morning to go catch their bait, catch their shad, and then they would get their clients for the day and take care of them all day, do everything for them, you know. It's kind of like taking care of five-year-olds. They just wait on them hand and foot, bait their hooks and take their fish off and do everything for them. And, you know, I watch these guys when they're doing all this with the fish and everything. A lot of times they get finned and all that, and they got blood running down their hand. They don't ever say a word. They don't think anything about it. It's just part of the job. And then they get back to the dock, and they get to clean 50 or 100 fish. I don't like that part either, by the way. But I'm just telling you that, you know, they loved it, but there's still a lot of it they didn't like. Well, Peter and company, their job was a little bit different than that because they were fishing with nets, but it was still a nasty job and hard work. And the Bible says that they worked all night and caught nothing. We're going to read Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 3. It says, so it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Jesus used Simon's boat as a platform to speak from. They didn't really ask Peter, at least not in this passage. It doesn't appear that he asked him, but I want to tell you something. The Lord knows where he's welcome. And he gets into the boat. You have a boat. It's where you spend your day. The key is how much are we willing to let Jesus get in our boat? I think sometimes people have the attitude of, well, Lord, you're welcome in my boat anytime. Just sit down over there and be quiet. You know, they want a silent partner. Jesus, you can be my partner. Just, you know, let me do my job and you be quiet and we'll be all right. But I'm just telling you that Jesus can make a real difference in your workplace. And we as Christians should never be ashamed of the Lord. We should never try to hide him or keep him out of the workplace. And if you bring Jesus in the workplace, and I want to say this one more time, I'm not talking about bugging people and being obnoxious to people. But I'm talking about leaving room for the Lord to work in your workplace. I want to tell you something. Worship isn't just something you do on Sunday. It's the way you live your life. You can worship while you're doing the dishes. One stay-at-home mom said, or had this sign over a kitchen sink, divine task performed here daily. A businesswoman had this plaque in her office, my desk is my altar. So we're going to read on in Luke chapter 5. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I let down the net. And when he had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled the boat so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken, and so also were James and John and the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So if we let Jesus in our workplace, he'll make us rich. No, that's not the takeaway here. I want you to see something here. This was a fantastic thing that happened. And it's true that this was a huge catch of fish. Here they had caught nothing, made no money, and now all of a sudden they had a great, I mean, it was the worst night fishing ever. And now it's the best night fishing ever. But this wasn't about just a bunch of fish. In fact, Peter didn't even say anything about the fish. He had a new revelation of Jesus that changed his life. So, do you carry a Bible? Do you pray at break time? Do you start a Bible study? I don't know. That's between you and the Lord. But I do know this. Don't leave the Lord at home. Take the Lord with you to work. And I'm going to say one more thing about that. I'm sure there's an employee who was grateful and a real hard worker and didn't get involved in strife, even if they talked about the Lord. You hearing what I'm saying? Now, if they're talking about the Lord, but they're not a hard worker and they're always stirring up trouble, moving on. I'm going to do the last two in 2 minutes because we're over time. Y'all pray for me. Number six, this will bring joy to your work. Realize that Jesus can change your situation at any time. He told Simon Peter, he said, from now on, you're going to catch men. And you know what? It's just that easy in your life. I mean, to you, you might think, oh no, I'm 50-something years old. There's no way I can ever get another job. I'm stuck in my career and there's nothing out there. Listen, God is bigger than that. And you need to realize, be thankful for what you have, but you need to know this, that God can move you. He can always change things around. He can give you a totally different career. You can be catching men instead of fish. All right, moving on. Number seven, keep the Sabbath. Here's one of the reasons that so many people end up burnt out and hating their job and hating work, because they fail to obey God in the Sabbath. Keep the Sabbath day. Exodus 16:23, we'll start with that one. Exodus 16:23. This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Exodus 31:15. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to rest. It's holy to the Lord. Listen, it is the only one of the Ten Commandments that pretty much all Christians think it's okay to break. Can we commit adultery? Oh, no. Can we bear false witness? Oh, no, that'd be a sin. Can we take the Lord's name in vain? Well, I think some of them think that one's all right. But anyway, I'm just telling you, pretty much everybody can get in agreement that 9 of the 10 commandments still apply. But for some reason, they've decided that the Sabbath one, well, that's just Old Testament. Listen, the 10 commandments came as 10. And you can say, well, it's the 9 now. No, it's not. It's still 10. It's the big 10. You say, oh no, we just have to love God and love others. Well, if you do that, I'm telling you, you're going to keep the 10. But listen, he gave the Sabbath day for man. Mark 2:27, Jesus talked about it. He said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. He wants us to have a day of rest, not a day where we can do all of our personal work. No, listen, he wants us to have a day of rest, a day where we can be with the Lord and get refueled, get rested. Listen, it will help you be ready to go back to work and do it heartily as unto the Lord. It's very important, if you're going to have joy in your work, that you learn to rest one day and get truly refueled and ready. Stand with me. I'm going to pray over you and dismiss you.